All right, Roy. Thank you.
Hope everything went all right. Sorry for the delay.
Oh, no, not a problem, Roy. I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thanks, Roy.
And spending time there in the car.
Did you guys have a fruitful discussion before I listened in?
No, we don't know what's going on either.
Hey, can I ask you one question, though? I was curious.
You bet, Jackie.
You know, you made the remark about possibly lower corn acres. And I'm in the same camp as you are as far as the feed potential, the potential feed usage and everything else. But what do you think can happen if we do come in with lower corn acres? How much of an impact do you think that will actually have on the market itself?
It really depends on what our carryout is. I'm still using a carryout that's right at 1.8. And if I'm wrong and our consumption doesn't pick up in the latter half of the year and we come in with a 2.0 or 2.1 carryout, reduced acres don't mean a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
The potential of just a slight increase in the acres that we plant triple stack corn on should improve yields one more time, and I think that we're still in a growing yield trend pattern. I guess that as I go forward into next year, let's say that the world produces 50 million tons less wheat next year, we're not going to have as much feed wheat to use, and it will bring back some corn demand. And I still feel that the world is going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And our animal numbers worldwide are pretty low right now. Even China's having some problems with their herds, and because of disease, not because of profitability.
Yeah, bird flu. Yeah.
Well, bird flu and the hoof and mouth disease. They pulled a bunch of cattle. They're not big cattle people. But they've also got this blue ear disease in hogs. If you look at their poultry production numbers on an annual increase, it's amazing how much their production has gone up.
Mm-hmm.
But they got a lot of new mouths to feed. And China still wants to. China has put into place measures to keep domestic prices high, so this 20 or 25 million factory workers they've pushed back into the rural communities have something to do.
Well, and that's really important to them, too. I mean, you know, from the standpoint that there are certainly many more people in China than there are people in the government in China. And they have to keep them eating and working. I read today that China is done buying grain for their reserves from the local farmers. You know, they had been buying in the northeastern part and that they're finished with that. So they go beyond that, I think, is possible. It could possibly come here.
They bought a huge amount of corn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've been watching, but every week when they sell wheat reserves, the wheat sales have been going very well. They've been selling out 1.5 million tons of wheat a week in the last 4 or 5 tenders.
Mm-hmm.
So the mills are buying that wheat very aggressively, and that doesn't sound like a market that doesn't have demand to me. It may just be domestic demand, but it's there.
Well, don't you think that when you look at, you know, we spend so much time focusing on whole soybeans, you know, raw beans. When we had lower export numbers for raw beans, we had very high numbers for soy oil. And, you know, everything I've read in China says that, you know, they have quite a bit of meal at this stage of the game, but they still have tremendous demand for soy oil. And they can buy it cheaper from us right now, processed here, than take raw beans over there and create more meal.
Their crushing margins in December were $2.50 a bushel. Their crushing margins today are under a dollar. So they have come down, and that's been the weaker meal basis. I can tell you that they are very upset with India. India has spiked the price of palm oil. Palm oil has gone from $200 a ton discount to soybean oil to only $30 a ton discount. That is a huge price move, and it's taken place over about 3 months. And it's been driven primarily by the huge Indian buying. Indian buying is 40% bigger than it was this time last year. And China's kind of stuck. So there have been 70,000 tons of unknown oil sales out of the U.S. in the last 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's China. We'll see when the names are changed. There was a cargo of soybean oil sold to Egypt on Wednesday of this week, and I reported that it traded out of Argentina. I've had two people tell me it traded off the Atlantic in the U.S. But oil out of the U.S. is being discounted tremendously because our crushers are having a hard time getting rid of it. Our domestic use of soybean oil is down dramatically, down like 14% in decent Jan. Reduced use in the restaurant trade, reduced use in biodiesel, and we're swimming in oil. So I have a tough time being really overly bullish oil, but the oil trade versus meal, I like. I think that meal basis is starting to deteriorate. I think meal demand is starting to deteriorate. When meal gets to be 7 cents a pound over corn, we lose our consumption domestically. And I don't see anything good. I think the bean complex has a price problem. Without Argentina, we would be trading a dollar lower in beans.
Roy, since we've been talking about product, can we talk a bit about fructose and high fructose syrup and the pop industry? Do you see demand slacking off there, too, and does it have much of an impact? If it does.
You know, I really don't have any stats on that. I know that the fructose industry has been under pressure, but I just don't have any detail on what's happened there. I think their margins have suffered just like all other margins. But, you know, I'm not that close to Staley anymore. I used to be, but I'm not anymore. I don't have any detail for you there.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much. I recorded all that. You mind if I put it into the weekend newsletter?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay, anybody else? Everybody good with that? Okay, thanks much. Roy, have a good one.
Thanks, Roy.
Guys, have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye.